Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi everyone, welcome to Mtunuwatu. This is a bi-weekly production where we discuss social justice, religion, humanity and culture. Mtunuwatu is a Swahili proverb that means a person is people. The proverb was used in Africa to remind people the importance of teamwork, because individually we're weak, but together we're strong. Welcome. All right. Welcome to Mtunuwatu.
Hello.
How are you guys?
Hello. We are good.
We are good.
I'm very productive today.
Chilly.
Love yeah. It's getting cold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The leaves look nice though.
It looks so pretty. Oh my
Driving
goodness.
Up here was really nice.
Yeah.
It's just falling. Every type of color is nice. It's really nice.
Yeah. That's Colorado. Colorado. It's beautiful. If you never visited Colorado, you need to come visit in the fall.
In the fall, yeah.
Before it starts.
I always hear that here in Pennsylvania is nice too.
Oh.
To yeah. Vermont.
Yeah. Every color, like back east.
Yeah.
You know, here we have some reds and some yellows. We have that, but like it's every color back east.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I would love to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plan a trip.
Yeah. They say the best places to go during fall is to go to Vermont. Apparently it's one of like really nice.
Is it cold over there?
A little bit. But, like, you get that actual experience of fog, like, because it's, like, every color.
Oh
I would love to see that.
Yeah, if you go to, like, the Appalachians, anyone in the East Coast there, and they so you just got those rolling hills, and the forests, like, overgrow each other, so you, like, kind of go
through
this canopy.
Oh, my God, that would be so pretty. I could sit there, and I could read. God.
With a whole bunch of blankets, because, you know.
Exactly. It's just cold. Hot chocolate.
Maybe sit in the car.
Yeah, yeah, I'll probably sit in the car. It would probably wouldn't be a good idea to just sit out there.
Yeah. Anyway, so today we want to talk about how is growing up as in a Christian family looks like. Some of us or some of our listeners probably not Christians at all. There were no reds in a Christian family like me. Mm-hmm. But I think it's still like something that it's worth talking about, because there's a lot of young people and kids today, and a lot of us were raised in Christian families. And I just want to know how that is, and how did you balance all that as a Christian mom, a Christian dad, a Christian daughter, a Christian son? How was that for you? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So my first question would be like, what is the thing that you appreciate the most about being raised in a Christian family?
You go first, Uncle.
So I wasn't raised in a Christian family. My family, you know, I guess they were, because they're Catholics. Mm-hmm. You know, that's Christian, right?
Yeah.
But I did not go to church. My mom was a staunch Catholic. Okay. You know, always going to church on Sundays. And
did your dad go?
No. Yeah. Every once in a while, he will go. Every once in a while.
Christmas, Easter.
Yeah, those kind of things. But it wasn't like I had to go. I just never went. You know, every once in a while, my mom would force me to go, but I was like, man, do all the, you know, the Catholic things. But then it got to a certain age, I'm like, I'm not going. I never went. So I don't have anything like, I don't have that experience, like being raised in a Christian family, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know what that looks like,
yeah.
You know? Okay. So.
Well, one thing I appreciate about growing up in a Christian family is I feel like I could have turned out differently if I wasn't raised in a Christian family, per se. Yeah. Just seeing as the person I was before.
You would be in jail.
I would be in jail. I always joke about this. Like, I always said that if I wasn't a Christian family, I think I would be one of those kids that my Uncle Julius, you work with.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So I think that's one of the things that I appreciate, just being grounded in Christ and being taught who God is, and that it's not just about the religion itself, it's about the relationship. So I really kind of appreciate growing up with my grandfather, who has passed away a long time ago, but he's the one that taught us that it's not about a religion, it's about having a friendship with, you know, with Jesus. And I appreciate that a lot. So that's one of the things that I appreciate growing up in a Christian family.
Yeah.
Well, how I would say it, because I was half, when I was with my extended family, I was in a Christian household. When I was with my dad, it didn't really matter what it was. It was just what it was. We didn't always go to church. When we did, it was just me and my siblings, and it was mostly to get food.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think what I appreciate about when I was with my extended family and that Christian environment, I appreciated most because it meant like I was a part of something, and there was togetherness, sort of like a fellowship type thing, and it was nice, and it made me feel safe.
Yeah,
that's what I appreciate about that.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. How about you?
Yeah, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. When I look back, I can see God working in my life, and even some like full-on experiences with God before I even knew who God was.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I wasn't raised in it. My mom became a Christian when I was a teenager, and the church, she was going through a divorce because my dad had left us at the time, and the church actually asked her to leave because, you know, they at that time they kind of thought divorce was like a disease and it would spread or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so they asked her to leave. And so even though she became a Christian, we weren't going to church. And so I didn't, I feel like God was ever present, and I accepted him as Lord sometime. Mm-hmm. I mean, as Jesus, as Savior, sorry, of my sins somewhere in my teenage years. He didn't become my Lord until college.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of when I say, like, that's when I became a Christian. Mm. Because it was, like, finally, it all kind of came together.
Yeah.
And I was 100% in.
So can I ask you a question? How does it feel now being a mom and being a Christian, and then your husband also as a Christian? How does it feel raising your kids in a Christian family? Apart from where you come from.
It's a new territory.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how it is to grow up in a Christian home.
Yeah.
And years ago, somebody said to me, you know, when you get a vaccine, right? So they give you a little bit of it, so that your body can build antibodies against it.
Right.
So they said we have to be careful not to inoculate our children against Jesus,
because
you give them just enough that they can build up a tolerance.
That's right.
Okay. Versus, like, all of Jesus.
And yeah.
That's what I didn't experience until college. And so that's when I defined myself as becoming a Christian, because I didn't know all of Jesus until then.
Mm. That makes sense.
And so I feel like there's a challenge on us to figure that out.
Yeah.
But it's also, at the same time, it's their walk.
Mm.
So, yeah.
That's important.
It's new territory. I'm trying to figure it out. Important. So.
What do you appreciate about having a Christian family?
Now?
Mm-hmm. Uncle, you, Miss Amanda.
For me?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things. You know, like, there's there's a lot of benefits of just being a Christian, you know, in general. Especially in this society that we live in, as far as morality and stuff, as a Christian, there's a guideline, there's a guide that the Bible teaches us that we have to abide by with. And so imagine if you wasn't a Christian and you don't have any, like, hope, you don't have any like, morals, like, mm-hmm. like things that guide your morals, like a book they can go read and, like, feel, like, encouraged and, yeah. and motivated to do better. So those are some of the things that I feel like it's the benefit for me. Mm. And just the fact that I have a hope someday when I die.
Yeah.
Mm. That's big for me.
That's nice.
Yeah. Oh, Amanda?
Yeah, I would say the hope, the grace, the mercy, all yeah. of that. Being able to, I mean, because being a parent is hard, raising children is hard. And just knowing that, like, there's grace and mercy and we're not alone in it.
Yeah.
And then with the morality piece of it, right, when you don't have, like, those boundaries in place, mm-hmm. those boundaries are there to protect you, protect your heart, protect your mind, mm-hmm. all those things. They're not meant to, like, just be rules to be followed and you break them and you're going to hell, you know? Right. It's not about that. It's more about the protection of it all. And so to have those boundaries in place to protect our family, protect their hearts, our kids' hearts, their minds, so that they know, I guess, what direction they should be going, whether they choose it or not. Mm. I think that's a benefit.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. So what is the thing that you regret most about being raised in a Christian family?
I think what Miss Amanda was saying, like, being careful of, like, the amount that you give to your kids when it comes to, like, teaching them who God is and stuff like that. I feel like that was really important. I feel like me growing up, we were immersed in all things.
Immersed.
Drenched. We were drenched.
It's a beautiful thing, but honestly.
Yeah. It really is. But looking back, I feel like we were so overwhelmed at such a young age because we were drenched. We were drenched in everything. Christianity. We had to know the word. We had to speak the word. We had to be part of the church. We had to be part of the choir. We were drenched in it. Like, we lived and breathed everything. It was all about church. Everything was about, it was about choir. So I feel like that didn't give us enough room to explore, like, to being kids and just kind of being free for a little bit. But we only knew one thing. And that was just church.
Yeah.
So I just feel like I regret not being a child, you know, and just being carefree from time to time, you know, if I could, and just explore other things maybe that I could have been more interested in. I feel like I wasn't given that room to explore other things. Mm-hmm. Good things, not bad things, good things. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's the same regret. But because now, as we're older, before, you know, we would call ourselves Christian, but I think it was because of how much we mm-hmm. were immersed in the faith.
That's true.
With the adults being the Christian, we were just supposed to be Christians. But now we can look, we can actually explore what the word is. We can actually explore who God is and who Jesus is and what he means in our lives, mm-hmm. then to decide for ourselves, I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
Another thing that I regret is allowing my family to dictate when I get to be baptized. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I really regret, because I got baptized, I think I was either 13 or 14 years old. I didn't know what baptism is.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it meant. It wasn't until I was in my 20s when I finally understood what it actually means to actually be baptized. And being baptized at such a young age, I didn't know what I was saying.
Yeah.
I stood up in the church in front of so many people, and I recited this thing that somebody typed for me, and I was just reciting words. I didn't know what those words meant. So being baptized at such a young age, me making mistake after mistake, I didn't realize what, you know, yeah. what I'm supposed to be doing after that. So finally getting to know what baptism actually is, and finally accepting God truly, 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 that changed everything for me. So I would say that was one of the other things that I regret, being baptized
before I actually knew.
Because when you're in a Christian family, I feel like you're expected to act a certain way, and you're expected to be a certain type of person and do certain things, and so there's no room for error. And then so what it does you is it, make you, you make you look at the Bible and you look at Christianity as a whole has a very limiting and very restricting and very harsh because you don't truly understand God's love. You just understand all these discipline stuff that people are telling you, you should do this, you can't do that, you're doing this, you're a bad person, you're doing this, you're going to hell. It's like, oh my God, who is this God? He must not be that loving. But as we grew older, then, and we started, like I said before, exploring for ourselves and understanding what the word was, then we were like, oh my goodness, like, I wish I had waited. Exactly. I wish I had understood the full meaning of this before I did that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you feel like even though you were raised in a Christian home, there was still like that defining moment of like when it became your own and not because of your family?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I remember also when I became a Christian and you know, my family are not Christians. So I'm the only one that was like actually a Christian in the family. And as far as being born again, I'm not saying Catholics are not Christians. Mm-hmm. They're Christians too. Right. But, you know, like if you're in like a Pentecostal type of church, there's all this expectation that you need to know how to pray, you need to know how to read the Bible, you need to know how to share with other people your faith.
Yeah.
And all these things are like, I don't know how to do all this. I don't even know how to pray. I just became a Christian, you know? So I felt like there was some pressure.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
There was some pressure that I need to do this. I need to conform to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, so how do you even do this? You know, like a lot of pressure, you know? And I think that's my regret sometimes. Like, you know, I think Christianity is growth. It's like you grow in it.
Mm-hmm.
And back then it was like, as soon as you became a Christian, in a couple of weeks, you should be able to do this. And in the next couple of months, you should be able to do this, you know? They like pushing you to grow so fast, and like you don't even know what you're doing, you know?
Exactly. And then that's what makes things to be so ingenuine, because it's like you don't even really know what that is. You don't know what you're reciting. Yeah. You don't know what you're saying. You don't know what you're believing in. But because of that pressure, you're forced to do things so early on that you don't
understand.
You don't even understand.
Yeah, you don't even know what you're doing. They're just like doing it because everybody, it's like a repetition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just. You're just reciting all this, memorizing all these verses, just goes so you look like you understand something, you know. Exactly. But inside of you, you're like you're still a baby. You don't know what you're doing, you know. And that was one of my regrets too.
And I feel like too, like it's like the church culture is, you know, come as you are. Like Jesus accepts you as you are. But then once you get here, you better be perfect. It's like no, that's not how that works.
They can make mistakes.
No.
Like, you're still human.
Exactly.
You still make mistakes.
But then I think, too, like, because I became a Christian later in life, I was thirsty. And so I was, like, every question I had, you know, I was researching, I was trying to figure things out, I was praying, I was all of this stuff. And I felt like I grew so fast in those first couple years because it was just, like, this, like, hunger and thirst, right?
Yeah.
But then, like, I look at my kids and they're raised in it, and so they're surrounded by it, but so there's no, like, I mean, I don't want to speak for them, but, like, that responsibility and urgency to have it their own isn't there yet.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if, like, what age do you feel like you were like, oh, this is mine?
20. Yeah, just about.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So even if you're raised in a Christian home.
Yeah, because right now I feel like, of course, I don't want to speak for them too.
Yeah.
They feel like they need to do this because it's what we do. Obligated.
Yeah.
It's obligated of them. But until they create an identity for themselves and they realize and they actually make a choice of themselves, that's when like Christianity becomes their own, like their own thing and not what they're obligated to do, if that makes sense.
Or what my family does.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like my family's Christian, but so like, I am Christian. I am.
Yeah.
Because that's not what really Christianity is about. It's not about what your family does. It's not like some tradition that you just like carry along. No, Christianity is, it's personal.
Yeah.
It's personal. You make a personal decision to do it and to follow Christ. And it just because your grandma or your mom or your uncles are doing it, it's not a ticket for you, like, hey, take.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. your grandma got in, so you yeah. get in, kind
of thing. That's not how it works. And when you find out how that works, it's a scary thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think having that family cover you in prayer is also...
It's important.
It helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that kind of helps, too. Yeah. So what does church mean to you guys? Like, you know, you were submerged in it.
I like the togetherness of, you know, whenever you go to church, you see everybody's together. it's a moment where everybody can just really come together and in fellowship with one another. So I like that. I like that aspect of church. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Biggest thing, unity. Everyone's together. We're working together. We all believe in the same thing.
Yeah.
And the food, of course.
Yeah, I think for me, church was hard for so many years. Mm-hmm. I mean, my mother was kicked out of a church after she became a Christian. So that was my first, like, scene experience in a church, right? Is mm-hmm. we're not allowed to come, right? Mm-hmm. And then I finally become a Christian, like, fully in college. And the first church I go to, they tell me that I can't serve until I'm married. Mm-hmm. A single woman can't serve God. And then I move to a different city, I end up at a different church. The pastor has an affair, stands up in front of church and blames the congregation because we're too needy.
Wow.
Then the next Sunday comes back as if nothing happened.
Because you're too needy?
The congregation is
too needy.
Wow.
What does that mean?
And then he walked out, but then the next Sunday he came back and preached like nothing ever happened. Mm-hmm. There was no restoration.
That must have been so confusing for you.
I was like, what is this?
Oh,
you know?
God.
And then when he came, there was times where I'd stop going to church because like these things would happen and I'm like, I don't understand. Like, this isn't the God that I know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't the Jesus I serve. What's going on? And then he came, and he was like, we need to go back to church. And I was like, okay, fine. So we went to a church. But then they were like, that church was telling me that women can't wear cotton, but men can. And then women can't put on makeup. They can't do their hair. All this stuff. And it was like, not like, I'd be like, yeah, okay, praise Jesus. I don't have to wear makeup and do my hair. But like.
you have to wear a dress.
Yeah. Like, there was just so many rules. And I was like, this doesn't feel... like Jesus either. Like, what is going on? So then we left that church. We ended up at another church. This is in a different city from here. And he kind of turned me into the principal's office, it felt like. He filled out a card that said, my wife has issues with church.
Wait, what?
So we got called into his counseling. Yes.
What?
Yeah. Right?
Who did it? You snitched on her?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it was like, what, our first year of marriage?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, she's got issues.
Wow.
But the counseling pastor took us in and talked to us. And so I just told him all this stuff. And he just kind of... you know, we talked about it and he prayed over us and it was just kind of like, I could let all that go because it, you know, that was for God to handle.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't what church was supposed to be. Right. Yeah. But we're all, church is just made of broken people. And we make mistakes and that's just what happens. And people are hurt in the process because of all this false doctrine and decisions and all that stuff. Not following what is told, like how to restore somebody and, you know, Old Testament, New Testament, Jesus, all that kind of stuff. So I kind of was freed at that point. And then moving down here and finding the church that we're in now, it does feel like family. It does feel like unity and all that kind of stuff. So I'm glad that after 20 years to finally find a home where I'm like, this is what the body's supposed to be like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all messed up and we're messed up. Messy. Oh, but like, it's a beautiful mess. Because we love Jesus and it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Amen. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, for me, before I became a Christian, I felt like a church was like this, a bunch of judgmental people. Like all they want to tell you is how messed up you are and like you're going to hell and stuff. And even after coming to church, I still saw that. Like, there was still, like, some of that, some of those people that, I don't know if I should call them fundamentalist. Like, those.
I don't know.
I don't know what name to give them.
Like, the Pharisees.
The Pharisees. Yes.
There we go.
They're so quick to see a problem on other people, but they don't see the problem themselves, you know? Mm. And so sometimes, you know, there's good people in churches, but then there's some people that still think that it's, you know, yeah, it's a jihad. It's like, we need to go out there and just look, you know, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're dead, you know, those kind of mm-hmm. things. You're dying right now. We're going to, you know, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I feel like that's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about love, you know, compassion on other people.
Mm-hmm.
And always looking back on how you messed up you are before you accepted Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how much you needed people to have compassion on you, you know. And not once you come in, now the compassion has gone out the window.
Exactly.
Right. Like, you know, you don't care about what people are going through.
Mm-hmm.
You want them to be perfect immediately. You know, if they don't want your Jesus, then they, you know, you just give them names and, you know, they don't belong in your life, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but slowly, you know, you start realizing this, even inside the church, they're just broken people.
Yeah.
You know, and you just have to do your part and play your part. That's how I look at it. It's a bunch of broken people that are trying to figure out who they are
mm-hmm.
and what God wants them to do. And so it finally starts to not be all mad about other people when they do
mm-hmm.
things that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
I just realize they're probably just still growing too.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Yeah, I think St. Francis of Assisi said, I'm just a beggar telling other beggars where to find bread.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that's what church
that
means to me.
That makes a lot of sense.
So. Yeah, so do you think that your parents were able to create a good balance between church and family? Or this?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Spend so much time in church that they forgot about the family, or place family second.
I love how Christina is wanting me to answer first. Go ahead, Tim. You can go first for once. Like I said before, we were drenched in yeah, in church. So I feel like when I was younger, there wasn't that balance. It was just all about church. So there wasn't any room to do other things other than, you know, church. How can we help other people and stuff like that? It was just about, it was nice, but there wasn't that balance, you know? But I don't know, family is always family, I guess. There's times where, you know, when we're home, you know, we're family, we spend time together and stuff like that. But it was mostly just about, you know, church. There wasn't that balance or in between. So.
Yeah, not really a balance and not no room to grow because everything revolved around church.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's you know, now that I'm a parent, a Christian parent too, it is hard to find that balance sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, cause you just feel like, and you know, they say that it's there's all these things that sometimes we like in my family, God is first, family second, and all these things. But sometimes when you think about it, you're like, I don't know if that's what God wants, or it's just like some idea that somebody came up with, you know, that family second and God first. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like, you know, God has given us the responsibility God has given us is just as important as him, you know, especially family, you know. And so sometimes, especially if you're a pastor and you're minister at a church or you're doing a lot of things at a church, it's easy to just like find yourself so much in church that your family becomes like even... like you don't even remember your family.
You have to find that balance.
Yeah,
I believe that God does come first because he says seek first the kingdom of God, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like God does have to come first. But you yourself, if you are a parent and you have kids, it's important to have that balance. It's really important to have that balance because if all they know is just church, like what else? Like they could be good at so many other things, but you're not giving them room to grow. So I feel like it's possible to put God first, but to also have that balance to where, you know, there's time for, you know, family time and this and that. And, you know, still be involved in church. I feel like there has to be a balance.
Yeah, because even as a pastor, like you can be preaching, you can be doing all these things, but then your house is not in order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to set your house in order first, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Because as much as God is first and he's the head of the family and everything is just, you know, supposed to, you know, revolve around that. But still, like, you can put yourself out there and be like, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian and I do this and my family's this. But then your family's like on fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you're not taking care of that.
Sometimes I feel like as church people, we take church like it's our church. You know, it's our church, but in reality, it's Jesus' church, right?
God's church.
And so the mentality, the idea that my church, you can find yourself like, you know, losing that balance out between your family and church. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in as much as we're supposed to be part of the church, I think we need to allow Jesus to take care of his own church too,
yeah.
You know, and be able to. There's people that there's pastors that are committing suicide. Have you heard of that? People like so stressed out in the church and like commit suicides.
Mm-hmm.
Pastors, you know, because of their stress. Mm-hmm. And I feel like because of lack of balance in their lives, you know, can take somebody in those dark holes.
Mm-hmm.
And you find like you hear, I've seen them on like news and a pastor just like shot themselves or. Mm. Hang themselves or overdosed, you know, and a pastor of a mega church.
You shouldn't let it get that far, Jamani.
You know,
to where you're so stressed out that you feel like the only way out is just
even
to go?
God rested on the seventh day.
And that's about like pastors are supposed to be shepherds, right?
Yeah.
So if they're shepherds, if a shepherd in the old day, if it comes down to your kid or your sheep, which one you gonna pick?
Okay. Kid.
Yeah. Like you've got to, you're shepherding the sheep, but like you have more of a responsibility to your family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so God will take care of those sheep.
Yeah.
Well, you take care
God's
of your
sheep.
That's what I was saying.
I mean, your family's God's as well, but like your responsibility goes to your family. Yeah. But I mean, your responsibility. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind.
Yeah.
Seek first his kingdom.
Right.
These kind of things. But like when it comes to serving other people or serving the family that God gave you, you need to serve your family.
And God will take care of the sheep.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like some pastors, like it's easy to find yourself, you feel like this is like your everything. My church is my everything. Mm-hmm. To get to that point that you're like, if things are not working out, like you're super stressed, you know?
Yeah.
You kill yourself because you don't know how to handle it. Like you're forgetting that this church it's not yours. It's God's church. It's
for Jesus' church. For those that watered down their message because they're like, what if people don't like me? What if they fire me?
I know. I don't like those.
Yeah.
You know, they have to say things that are pleasing to their members. Instead of just like speaking truth that God wants us to speak.
That's not good.
So I feel like people need to understand that we need to have that balance between doing God's work and your family. Mm-hmm. And I think they're both equally important. You know?
I think your family is God's work too.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like raising up this next generation.
Yeah. And it's just, I don't know what to tell somebody how to create that balance, but I think you just need to speak to God and ask him to help you find that balance between the ministry and your own family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you don't need to like stop going to church because you're spending time with family, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been going to church for 6 months now. I'm going to take 2 months off.
You know?
To spend time with my family.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying you make those kind of radical decisions.
What?
You know? Because some people can do that. Like I said, to create balance, I have to do this. I have to step aside and stop what I'm doing.
Zero or 100, there's nothing in between.
Yeah, and just like spend time with my family. But I think there's everybody just have to find a way how they can create that balance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's like a magic word.
Well, and a balance doesn't mean like 50-50 or, you know, 25-25-25-25, depending on how you're splitting things up. Balance is more like seesaws. I feel like you give a little here, but then tomorrow, like, you go back the other way, you know, you have to.
Yeah.
It's just like a constant back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So do you guys think that Christian parents sometimes over-involve their kids in church to an extent the kids lose their identity or lose themselves?
Oui.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean by uh-huh?
Mm-hmm. That's it. But yes, I do think that Christian parents do over involve their kids in church, because I also think of it as like, okay, if you're a Christian parent, obviously you want your kids to also be, you know, involved. So, you know, you guys paint the perfect, you know, Christian picture, you know, you guys look good. Mm-hmm. So if your kids are not involved, they'll say, what's going on here? And you know how Africans
talk. They will ask questions.
They will ask a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think parents do start to really involve. They're like, oh, look, at so-and-so is doing this. You could do that. You know, so-and-so is doing this. You need to go and be a part of this as well. I don't have to. Everybody's called to a certain ministry.
Yeah.
Everybody's called to do something that, you know, God has appointed for them to do or has purposed them to do. Don't force your kids to be overly involved in something that they don't feel like they want to. If your kid does not want to sing, then they don't want to sing. That's okay. If they don't want to be an usher, then they don't want to be an usher. That's okay.
That's okay.
Leave them. The more they're there, the more they'll figure out exactly what their purpose is to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you force them.
Are you born again? Are you saved? Come, can't do that.
Exactly.
Are you a Christian now? Or why can't you do that?
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know, though. Like, some kids, sometimes you do have to get them to do something because, you know, left to themselves, they won't do anything.
Mm.
Some kids, right?
Some kids,
Some kids will do too much, and then you have to pull them back. And then some kids you have to push because they won't do anything. And try it out. Like, see if you like this.
Yeah.
Give it a shot. If you don't like it, okay, let's try something else. But, like, let's give it some time before you say no and go try something new.
Yeah.
But I think it should be something to their liking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if they see the choir singing and they're like, oh, I like to sing. I think I would like to join that. Mm-hmm. You know, go give it a try.
Yeah.
But stay for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can't just have one bad practice and quit.
And, exactly.
Yeah.
Because the emotions, you know, they drive you when you're a child.
Exactly.
Sometimes that's an adult as well.
Yeah. So do you guys ever feel like overwhelmed with church?
Yeah.
Like, in what way?
Is it like people, the responsibility?
I think for the most part it's been like part the people and part the responsibility, because as much as we all we would say, we would hope so, that everybody's Christian in the church. But we all have our own personalities.
Yeah.
And some personalities don't mix with others, and that's okay. But, you know, that could get to you. That could stress you out, because we need to come to an understanding. And also the ministry, you know, sometimes it can be very overwhelming. I know that I've gotten overwhelmed a lot with, like, in the beginning when I started translating, and I felt like, you know, I didn't get any help, and it was just a lot. And as much as I loved to do it, like, I would get tired because, you know, I'm human. Yeah. I'm a human being. I do get tired. No, I'm a robot. Yeah. So, you know, I get tired. Sometimes, you know, you don't always feel like coming to choir because you're tired. You're overwhelmed.
And it's funny because some of you.
Watch yourself.
Does that mean? Let me see. How do I word this to where I'm not?
Does that mean? Watch yourself.
Okay. So we're told that, like, if you don't feel like you're up to sing for that day, don't come, because then that's going to hinder other people, right?
Yeah.
By force, you will go. Even if you're not feeling good. They will force you to go. The parents will force you to go. So I feel like that is one of the overwhelming things. Like Christina said, when you don't feel like that day, you don't feel like going to church, or you don't feel like going to choir practice, or you don't feel like, you know, you don't feel like participating because you're not feeling it, you're not in good spirit. You know, we can't be happy 100% all the time.
I wish we could. But sometimes you do so much easier.
But we have those days where, you know, you're just down and you can't really face anyone. You just, you know, you need a moment to yourself, but you're not allowed that moment to yourself. It's always you have to show up. You have to be there. You have to participate. So I would say it's just, yeah, that's overwhelming, the responsibility of constantly having to show up even when you're not okay yourself.
Yeah.
And then you have to pretend.
Pretending gets to me. Sometimes you can be overwhelmed, be forced to go, and then at the end of the day, you know, you're glad you went. It made you feel a little better. But there's still, you know, exhaustion is a thing. It's exhausting. And you get tired, and sometimes you do need some time.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
And what if it looked like you could go and you could be authentic and you could just say, you know what, I'm not having the best day, so I'm just going to sit here and be ministered to for a minute instead of leading you all?
Is that possible?
Is that possible?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Like, why can't it be that? I don't think that's possible. Why can't you create that?
We should create that, shouldn't we?
Of course, then the day that nobody wants to.
Exactly.
But then you can just sit. Like, sometimes that, like, you just need people. You might need quiet, but you might need people. And then if somebody brings, like, a song to their heart and they sing it, it can minister to everybody.
Yeah.
But, like, sometimes the walls just need to, like, the to-do list needs to stop.
Yeah.
And the walls need to come down, and people just need to be authentic.
Exactly. Authenticity is very important.
It's so... I feel like a lot of it can be so robotic now in church. It's everything repetitive. Robotic. It's not real anymore. And that's really sad, because when you do feel that, you know, you do feel real when you're serving or when you're ministering, it's passed off as, like, you know, that's strange.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not strange. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the spirit using you, because that's the realness of what you feel, and it's not weird, you know. And that should be more, it should be a normal to be real, and to, you know, when you feel a song in your heart, be able to stand up and be able to minister to other people. Church should be real, because we are real people. Exactly. As much as we are broken, we're real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
So it can get over. Church can be overwhelming.
It can be overwhelming
in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how about how should Christian parents create a balance then between church and family?
We don't know.
You church said life and family.
Yeah, we don't know. Didn't he say we don't know?
So I was expecting, after we talked a little bit, maybe somebody can come with, like, those magic words. Like, how do we create that balance between church and our children.
Advise me.
I feel like Miss Amanda, you kind of said it perfectly. Yeah. You know how?
Because I don't know.
She doesn't believe that. How we're talking about how pastors should know, like their family also is important. That even though they want to take care of the sheep, that sometimes they need to also take care of the family. And I feel like that's also important. I mean, you should always get your children, you know, involved in church if they decide to be involved in church, or if they want to go to church. But also remind them that, you know, there's so many things that they could do. They're free to do other things other than put all their focus on church all the time. Yeah,
yeah,
that's the best advice I can. I'm sorry.
I think sometimes, as minister people, church people, sometimes we want to be like the disciples. The disciples left their families, you know. Mm-hmm. They just left everything and followed Jesus, mm-hmm. you know. So they didn't have any other responsibility except for service, mm-hmm. you know. And I think sometimes we get into that mindset as ministers in the church that we want to be like the disciples. We forget our families and just like focus on the ministry. But I don't know if that's a good thing or not. You know, like it's because you still have a family. You haven't left your family. You know,
that's the
difference.
Really.
It's the difference between you and the disciples.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I respect a lot of things about my grandfather. May God bless his soul. But one of he was a pastor. He knew the importance of leading his people in his congregation, but he also valued his family, and he valued the fact that when God calls him back home, that he's going to leave a legacy that's going to serve God. So he knew the importance of leading his congregation and leading his family, because he knew that once he does go back home, that his family is going to lead the congregation. Yeah. So he had that balance. He had that balance. Bless his heart. He had that balance.
Can you tell us a little bit some of the things you picked up that created that balance?
I was so young, but like when on the days that we didn't have church, like it was all family. I know that we were like nighttime would come, we would like, he made us all go outside and we would all sit like in a circle and we would sing and we would just be together, talk to each other. And then when it comes to church, like he would make sure that we don't go, like nobody cannot be late. You cannot be late. And if you're late, okay, fine, you can stay home. But he's going to be the first one at the door. And if you're not there, he's already gone. He's already at the church. But he wasn't like strict when he's like, oh, you have to be there. It's like, you have to be there early. If you're not, that's fine. I'll see you when I get back home. So it's just that when he was with family, it was about family. When he was at church, it was about church. But then, you know, he still brought a little bit of both to each places, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Because I think the most important thing is to realize that Christianity does not leave you. It's who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way to like separate it from your children.
Mm-hmm.
You have to involve them, because when you say, oh, the more you repeat something to someone, the more they remember it later. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just repeat those little small things here and there about who God is and what, you know, what Christianity is. I think it's very, very important, because then later on, yeah, they're going to go on and they're going to explore, because as we all know, we all found Christ like at a really, you know, in our
different
20s
ages.
And, you know, we weren't children. I mean, I'm not saying that God can't use children, but it's like to really explore and realize knowing good and right, knowing bad.
Bad and good.
Yeah. Understanding those things and being able to explore and saying, okay, I've tried this, I've seen that, I've heard this. This is what I want. This is what I'm sticking to, you know. And I think those little words that you've said throughout those years will touch them, that when they finally get to that point where they're making their decision, they would take your words into consideration as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. So that creating balance is so important, you know. Mm-hmm. People, but I think we don't have an exact answer for
that. No instruction in how to raise Christian children.
Unfortunately,
yes.
There is.
Step one.
There's no
don't
guidebook,
go to church.
Unfortunately. There's no guidebook.
Love the Lord your God.
Yeah. But I think as Christian families and as a you know raising your children or just being raised in a Christian family, it's so important to create that balance between church and your family, and just to always remember that your family is just as important as our church, mm-hmm. you know. And the church is not going to die because it didn't go to church, you know. It's Jesus' church, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. The Bible says Jesus Himself said that He's going to build His church on a rock, I guess, that the gates of hell will not prevail. Mm-hmm. Yeah, will not. So whether you don't need to kill yourself, you don't need to like overdo it just so you look good on the surface, you know. Mm-hmm. Jesus is still in charge. You know? It's not you. Mm-hmm. Jesus is still the one that making that church grow. Jesus is still the one is the foundation of our church, you know. Mm-hmm. So try to create a balance between that and your family, because that's just as important. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to hear all these stories of pastors like stressed and depression and mm-hmm. and them ministering to people. Mm-hmm. You know, what are you telling people when you're depressed?
I know when they come to you for counseling on mm-hmm. depression and sadness.
Yeah.
But I think there too, like the body needs to step up a little bit.
Oh yeah,
you know, it's not all mm-hmm. supposed to fall mm-hmm. on the pastor. Yeah. So as much as we all need balance in that, there's some people that probably need to up their game when it comes to being involved in the church.
Serve, Jamani.
Yeah.
Serve.
It's important.
We are tired as well.
Yeah.
You don't want an overwhelmed pastor.
Yeah. Come on. Right, even in the leadership team, it's just like, please just. You know, be involved, help out,
help put away the stuff, help, you know,
keep set up your the kids stuff. In the seats,
help take care of your kids, you know, help with cleaning up at
if
the
you're
end.
The pointer finger and you're not there, mm-hmm. we're operating without a pointer finger.
Exactly.
A pointer
finger. Yeah, we need a pointer finger.
We need a pinky.
Yeah.
How do we point toe. At things? That's your whole balance, right?
We're gonna fall without a pinky toe.
Yes,
honestly.
Show up.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
Be there for us.
Find your space. Find your spot in the church and be helpful
too.
What are
you?
Yeah.
Are you an arm?
Hmm? Yeah.
We need everything.
Yeah.
Your body.
Your body. Find your place in the church and be able to do something. Yep. So the churches and ministry, those people that are always doing things are not overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and can have that balance with their families and the church too.
Yes, definitely.
Because there's people that just enjoy coming to church and sitting there and going home.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel fulfilled?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
Some are fulfilled. We must ask.
They don't want to do anything.
If you can't even like pick up a piece of trash from the floor and throw it in the trash can, are you fulfilled?
Yes, because you're not touching that dirty trash can.
That's not fulfillment. You need to be doing something. when they say bring something to the house of God, you know,
it's not just bringing yourself,
it's not just bringing your tithes.
Yeah,
we also need your service.
Yeah,
do something, please, Jamani.
Your presence is valuable.
It's very valuable. But when you do an action, a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Faith without action is dead.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's my piece.
Exactly. So thank you guys for listening to this, and I hope this like tickle something in your head.
Mm.
And if you are just those people that just go to church and sit and not do anything, just know that people get tired too. People get overwhelmed by church. Mm-hmm. And it could be the reason why people are overwhelmed. Because you don't participate, you know.
Like no, we are not pointing fingers.
You don't. You haven't found your space at the church. Yeah. You haven't found your space at the church, and do something, because we need you to do something too.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much for listening to Mutunwatu.
Thank you.
And let us know what you think and what is your magic word about balancing church and family.
Mm-hmm.
It might just save some family.
I know.
Our family that's going through some stuff right now. So thank you so much for listening to Mutunwatu. I will catch you next time. Bye.
You've been listening to Mutunwatu Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening to our show. Don't forget to subscribe and click on that notification button so you get notified when we upload a new episode. You can also listen to all our episodes at mutunwatu.com or your favorite podcast app. Follow us also on Facebook and Instagram. And thank you very much.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.